Good morning, everyone. The time is 7:12 a.m., Saturday morning. We're looking at a news article titled, U.S. Study, Divorce Never Good for Children, coming to us from the Christian Institute, and it's really worthy of your attention. It's a good article, and it reminds all of us of the importance of those who enter into the covenant relationship of remaining committed one to another till death does them part. Children always suffer from divorce, and the idea of a good divorce is just wishful thinking, according to new research from the United States. An analysis of almost 1,000 families found that children with divorced parents suffer even if the split was reasonable or on good terms. Researchers at Pennsylvania State University called on marriage counselors to do more to keep couples together. Let's read that again. Researchers at Pennsylvania State University called on marriage counselors to do more to keep couples together. So I would submit to you that if the researchers are calling on those at Pennsylvania State University to do more to keep married couples together, what should pastors be doing? Norman Wells from the Family Education Trust said the authors of this study are to be applauded for having the courage to honestly examine the evidence on such a sensitive issue. Many parents make sterling efforts to mitigate the damaging consequences of family breakdown for their children, but they can never be eliminated altogether. We've taken seriously enough the extent to which we have not taken seriously enough the extent to which children are affected when their parents separate. Myth. Researchers used three categories of divorced families. Cooperative, where parents shared child care and got along well with each other. Parallel, where child care was shared but there was rarely any communication. And single parent, because the absent parent had no or little contact with their child. The journal Family Relations reported that all three groups reported similar marks, self-esteem, and satisfaction with life, debunking the idea that it was possible to have a good divorce. It was suggested that people believe in such an idea because they simply want it to be true. Let's say that again. The idea here is that after analyzing three different types of divorces, group one, parents are cooperative. Group two, parents parallel but very little communication. So they share responsibilities, they provide for the children, but there's almost no communication between mom and dad. Group three, there isn't a dad or there isn't a mom in the scenario. And the research suggests the marks are the same among the three groups. Mr. Wells added, although divorce rates in the UK have declined in recent years, family breakdown is affecting growing numbers of families as a result of the rise in cohabitation and births outside of marriage. Cohabitating relationships are much less stable than marriages, and even more so when children are involved. The importance for children of the lifelong marriage of their parents cannot be overstated. Let me say that again. The importance for children of the lifelong marriage of their parents cannot be overstated. Far too often, separation and divorce are presented as quick fix solutions without thinking through the long-term implications. You say, Pastor Sean, why are you reading this? I mean, this is going to be said on sermon audio, and these are Christians who listen on sermon audio, and this is for unsaved people. How ridiculous. You do recognize that Christians divorce at the same rate or potentially a higher rate than non-believers. You do realize that the church is battling with this as much as the unsaved world. In fact, in some communities, some unsaved communities, the divorce rate is lower than the body of Christ. I think what frustrates me more than anything else as a pastor, and I have no idea how to fix it, and I wish someone would email me and tell me how to fix it so that I could take care of it, is it seems as though married couples wait until things are just on the absolute rocks before they seek help. Why is it that they wait so long? Is it pride? Is that what keeps the members of a church from seeking help from the pastoral staff? Is that what it is? What is it that causes us to wait until we practically hate each other before we then realize, you know what, we need to seek counseling? Or why? What is it that causes couples to wait until somebody's had an affair before they seek help? Now let me jump to another article that's hyperlinked to this one that we just read. This one says, study, cohabitating before marriage raises divorce risk. Let's look at it real quick. Again, coming to the Christian Institute. Study, cohabitating before marriage raises divorce risk. Couples who live together before getting married are more likely to get divorced, a report revealed. Now let's think about this, because again, the suggestion is live together, figure out if you are can make it together, if you've got enough things in common that you guys can then jump into marriage. The study found that many couples now postpone the decision whether to marry until after living together. But it also discovered that couples who cohabitate before getting married are 15% more likely to divorce than couples who do not live together. And those who have previously lived with a different partner before their spouse are around 45% more likely to divorce. So what we're learning here is, if you allow yourself to cohabitate with somebody before marrying, there's a greater probability that your marriage will end in divorce. What we're learning is that if you divorce your current spouse and then remarry, that you have a far greater probability of incurring a second divorce. So we see unequivocally that God's plan is the best plan. The report also found that unmarried couples who live together when their first child is born are 6 times more likely than married couples to separate by the time the child is 5. The report found that unmarried couples who live together when their first child is born are 6 times more likely than married couples to separate by the time the child is 5. By the time the child is 16, the separation rate for cohabitating couples is still 4 times as high as that of married couples. The report said, despite the popularity of cohabitation and its relationship to marriage, it is also the case that marriages that start with a period of prior cohabitation are significantly more prone to divorce than those that do not. Where there has been a previous cohabitation with a separate person by one or both partners, the likelihood of divorce soars. So when you're dating someone, ask them, have you ever lived with someone before? However, the report authors added that it was not clear whether cohabitating couples are prone to separation or whether couples prone to separation tend to cohabitate. It really doesn't matter for a Christian. Cohabitation is sin. Cohabitation is sin. Not a Baptist tradition or an old fundy idea. cohabitating before marriage is sin. The report entitled Cohabitation and an Alternative Marriage was produced by the Jubilee Center, a Christian think tank. The report was based on the data from 14,103 households. Ian Duncan Smith pointed to figures showing that children raised in single-parent households are 9 times more likely to begin a life of crime than those who are raised by both parents. Mr. Duncan Smith said, "It is important that we recognize the role of marriage in building a strong society, especially if we want to give the children the best chance in life." And now you ask, or now you wonder, or maybe now you don't have to wonder. Maybe that's the more correct way of saying it. Why this pastor takes every opportunity he can to speak to marriage, to speak to the marriage protecting amendment that we're going to vote on in the state of North Carolina, in which we don't want couples cohabitating, even males and females. We don't want civil unions. What society needs more than anything else is for males and females to wait on sex and to wait on cohabitating until they have been married. And then males and females have children and remain married until death does them part. That's what we want. We want the old-fashioned idea of one male, one female getting married and having children. We want to discourage everything else. We want the tax codes written in such a way that those who do it right get the best benefits, because that's what's best for a strong society. Thanks for listening.